So I took a hit, and then everything just opened up into what I can only describe as other dimensions. It was like, you know when you have like party streamers? Well, like, let's say you roll up a piece of paper, and then you put your finger in it, and it kind of extends and it's like spiral almost. It was like that, but like crazy, crazy colors, but everything opened like that.
Welcome to yet another episode of 3SP, coming to you from parts unknown. I'm joined today by Jussie P, Ollie Horn, and making a welcome return, GB News producer, comedian extraordinaire, is Jonathan Cogan, aka Hulk Hogan.
Thank you for having me back.
Yo, you're welcome. I
clicked the link because it was in the WhatsApp group, and then I wasn't really sure what was going to happen, but here we are.
It's exciting. It's exciting time. We can ask you all the GB News questions we have to ask. On the day after, President of Iran crashes to his death in a helicopter crash. Is that a mechanical fault or is there other forces behind it? Ollie's coming to you from a car where he's about to pick up more food. Justin has some nice eggs for breakfast, and we're just gonna. And he's got something about a fake son, so we'll just see what's going on. So, what did you guys think about the Iranian president situation, if anything?
I thought. I watched half of a Gerard Butler movie last night where he's helping the president go to London, and then there's a scene where they have to escape by helicopter, and there are three American military helicopters, and they get blown to smithereens. And I thought, wow, the fact that I watched that. And then this news happened today. Makes you think, doesn't it?
A bit of synchronicity there.
Do you know who Eric Hecker convenient. Is?
Eric Hecker?
No.
I do not know who Eric Hecker is.
Eric Hecker is I think he was a fireman and a whistleblower. He reckons that in Antarctica, they're doing this thing where they've got this thing where they reckon they're measuring neutrinos going through the ice. Kogi, you want to know what I'm talking about?
What a neutrino.
Well, he reckons it's actually. Yeah, they've got this thing under the ice, and it's so pure there. So, it's what do you call it? It's so unaffected by atmospheric interference that they can count neutrinos that just pass through things. Well, he reckons that's actually this big directed energy weapon, and that they shot the helicopter down with a space laser. He didn't say that, but that's what. Because they've got these. This is the thing that. Mossad.
It's always the Jews with our space lasers, isn't it? You build one space laser and everyone blames you, for God's sake.
You know
what's under the ice?
As well.
You know what's under the ice in in the Arctic? Antarctica, rather.
Yeah.
It's Atlantis.
Pyramids. Yeah.
That's why we can't... They said World War III won't start until... the Arctic has been de-iced or something.
Well, Admiral Byrd in Operation High Jump, he went and said that once you get over the ice wall and you keep going, it then gets lush and green and it's like unlimited resources. So they killed him.
That's almost certainly true, I'd say.
And there was this...
It is suspicious how everyone's at war, but the only thing everyone agrees on is that no one's allowed to the Antarctica.
What's that?
Yeah, that treaty.
Did you know that Ollie?
Well, this happened. This happened in the Putin. Or there was in the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. There was it Zelensky. Who was that guy? He had like a. There was like a bloke with a bit of an uprising. His plane crashed, didn't it? It happened there as well.
Oh, the scary ball guy.
A bit of an uprising.
Yeah, the scary ball guy. It's like don't go in the plane if you if you're anything to do with like a war.
Actually, I've got a trivia question. What personality links some notable GB news from the past week and a politician having a plane crash?
Farage.
Yeah. Farage was told, well, Ofcom said that Farage can host his programmes on GB News because he's not technically a politician anymore, doesn't have any constituents. Either in the European Parliament, which we're now not part of, and he's never held a seat. So there's no problem with him campaigning under the guise of hosting a news programme. And he had a really nice plane crash.
How can they... Well, I don't see how they... I don't understand how they can go, oh, you're a politician, you can't have a news program, yet you can have a Twitter account. It's all broadcasting. What's the difference?
Well, I think it's to do with...
just Ofcom.
Yeah, just the fact that it's regulated by different people. Right, Ofcom doesn't regulate Twitter.
Ofcom are yesterday's news.
Yeah, Farage is like... Yeah, they're gone. But didn't... Farage had a helicopter crash and they rebuilt all of his limbs with like gadgets that he can like activate or something. I get myself confused, but...
Did he actually have
he can extend his fingers.
Yeah, he had a plane. It was a small plane. When? And he could have died. And if he could have died, we could still be in the EU.
It's a sliding doors.
Yeah, thank fuck then. I'm glad we're not. Because like... What are you doing, Darius? You got a little thumb up. Come up.
If it's that's this is the worst thing. What is it?
We discovered this.
What is it? You do that.
If you do that,
yeah. There was another one. There was balloons as well, wasn't there?
Yeah. If you celebrate,
well, aren't these will constantly be balloons then?
No, but this is an Apple thing, right? So someone was saying Darius, there was doing an online funeral, and the guy
talked about
like,
this on the pod.
Yeah, we're doing this to commemorate this guy's life. Then he went like that, and then like. Balloons went off in the most inopportune moment. But how mad...
Hey, did you watch the boxing?
Yeah, what did you think?
Stolen.
Well, yeah.
Usyk won, I thought. I mean, I only watched the second half of the fight. It looked like he was winning.
Well, I only watched the 15-second highlights reel.
Well, Usyk definitely won the second half of the fight. But I think, because Fury's come up for some criticism for his sort of crass comments at the end, where he basically said, oh... Ukraine's been invaded, so that the judge is gifted in that because they feel sorry for him, which is an awful thing to say. But I think he would have had that prepared. I don't think that was off the top of his head. Do you know what I mean?
I reckon he might. I mean, Usyk, in my opinion, is the greatest undisputed heavyweight champion of all time, much better than Lennox Lewis.
I just find it boring. He's got like KO power.
I just want to leave a note for the listener that this this isn't a mistake in the editing. We have covered these four topics in the first 7 minutes.
What? Usyk? Usyk? Fight. Why are you using a Fisher-Price microphone?
Yeah. Why are you setting in... And why are you fat again?
Yeah, that didn't take long, Ollie.
Yeah, that's alarming. That's an alarming weight gain, mate. Did you pick up your weight when you got to the baggage thing at Gatwick?
It is remarkable.
Your big gut and tits came round on the carousel. They're mine.
I'll tell you what it is. It's just because I've been gigging. Like, whenever you're just driving 8 hours, you just eat McDonald's. That's the problem.
I mean, you don't have to eat McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't have to gig. This is Audio and Technica, but it's good because it's got USB and I've got a new phone so I can put USB-C into the... I thought it'd be good. I'm in my podcast recording studio. It's got airbags.
It looks like a car. To be fair, at least it's better than the time you dialed in from Thailand Beach.
Do you recall that? are you sex tourisming? What's taking you to Thailand?
Thailand was look, we've covered this to more extent than the listeners care about. But I did 2 weeks of Muay Thai.
He was preparing for the Kumite.
What's the Kumite? Yeah.
Do you reckon with your 2 weeks of Muay Thai, you could take Darius now with your training?
But I could take him anyway. I just know the right things to say.
Oh yeah, you're not allowed to use emotional abuse. Why is it thumbing me?
That's a special Muay Thai move.
Maybe it agrees. I said you're not allowed to use emotional abuse. I went thumb. I don't. What the hell? This thing's madness.
That's funny.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Weather's so nice at the moment.
Listen, Jonathan, no one cares about the weather. Jonathan, where you been AWOL? What's been happening with you? How's things? How do you feel as a British Jew working in the UK comedy industry?
I feel slightly funnier than most other people as a British Jew. Generally speaking, it's been a bit of a wild ride, I've got to say. I've been doubling down on all my Jewish material just because I feel like that's the correct thing to do.
Juicy.
And yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I've got a serious question. Jonathan.
Yeah.
That was a serious
question. Oh, my Zionist.
Yeah, are you a Zionist?
My serious question is...
Yeah. Well, it's complicated, but yeah, basically.
So Zionism just basically means you believe in the state of Israel, does it?
Yeah, well, I don't actually believe in any states because I think everything is just agreed upon game, but as much as I believe in any other state, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as much of a right to a state as anyone has.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's obviously been a tumultuous history. And basically, I know Darius doesn't, so I've got to provide balance for Ofcom.
I believe in I'm actually technically, I guess I would be a Zionist because I believe Israel should have a state. So I actually think my personal opinion is they should just make one super state, call it Judea and Samaria.
For the whole world?
No, just the whole of what Israel-Palestine is now. Make it one big country, call it Judea and Samaria, which is what it was. Both people claim they called it.
And then what happens in the parliament? How do they possibly govern this?
Never mind what happens in the parliament. What happens on the street?
Because if it's a super state, if it's one big state, right, and everyone's equal and there's a thriving middle class, then no one cares. People start caring about taxes and shit like that.
Darius, this is religious things, mate. It's not just about financial. It's not the West. It's different. I've been there. It's different.
Not only about... Religion's a part of it, but it's not all
of it. It's a big part of it.
Listen, no one cares about religion when you're making money and living a good life. No one cares about...
Religious people do.
Yeah, but they're a small minority of a larger... of both have got a larger community. A lot of Palestinians want to live and work in Israel because they have a better standard of life, right?
Hamas?
They are the fringe kind of minorities, the same as the settlers. If you had everyone together and you're all earning money, you're always going to get mentalists on both sides, right? But they'd be ostracized by their own communities because everyone would be living a good life and they'd be worrying about school, education, and stuff that actually matters.
This is actually...
But in
most
Iran, did we not get the most extreme?
Pardon?
But take a country like Iran, where you have the kind of extreme radical religious theocracy running the show. That it's not like a super poor country, am I right? I mean, I literally don't know.
But Iran, listen, the reason why Iran's fucked up now is because the West went in and meddled in the 50s to bring in...
You're welcome.
Yeah, but what's happened now, they brought in a coup, they got rid of we were a pretty democratic, normal country. Then because of that, they brought in the Shah. Then after the Shah, it's turned into this theocracy, right? That's because the West went in and meddled with it. If they had just stayed out of it, that Iran would be a normal country. But that's neither here nor there. My opinion, one super state, all people equal under the thing. It's like Yugoslavia, right? When Yugoslavia was at its peak, they had a benevolent dictator in Tito, right? And he said, you're not a Serbian, you're not Croatian, you're not Albanian, you are Yugoslavian. And they put Yugoslavia first. And they had, however long, up until his death, like unbridled success, unbridled, you know, peace amongst their countries. But you need to generate a thriving middle class, and you need to have a strong leader who says, look, the country goes above your religious or your ethnic background, and you're Yugoslavian, or in that case, Judean and Sumerian first, and then you're Jewish, and then you're Muslim, and then you're Druze, and then you're Christian, or whatever else sex there are in Israel-Palestine at the moment. And that actually would solve the question of the settlers, because the settlers, like, we want to be in the whole of what they believe is greater Israel. Well, fine, now you're in it. It's a one-state solution. Build your houses. What the fuck? We don't care. And then the Palestinians will be happy because they're fucking living a good life. That's mostly what most people care about, in my opinion.
Yeah, what happens when they want to go paragliding and raping then?
Yeah, well, you know, there's always going to be weekends where you can go and do that, but we've got that in London. We've got fucking buses.
That's like where they combine things, isn't it? Like skeet surfing from Top Secret, or
anyway, that's my solution. I don't think what we currently have is not going to happen, right? It's not working, and I don't think a two-state solution will work because you've got a country right in the middle of Israel Palestine. Just make it one huge country, super state, thriving middle class.
I do think one thing that Darius has said, which has run true for a lot of history, is once people are getting rich, they do stop quarrelling. And like, in fact, the whole, like, what eventually became the EU, this European Economic Area, was basically like, well, let's just make sure that no country is so poor in Europe that they get pissed off and start fighting. And it did kind of work. Like the EU has been at peace for the longest period ever. And it is all down to start with economics, make sure that everyone's not so poor that they're pissed off. So you might actually be right, Darius.
Jonathan, as someone of Jewish descent, what do you think should be done? Would that be a veritable solution, a one state solution?
Yeah, at primary glance, absolutely. I just think you need to have people not committed to the most extreme violent ends of religion, because that, I think, for a lot of people, does trump their, you know, like, people are willing to die for their religious beliefs. They don't care if they have a nice house or whatever. But you're saying that over time, if people had a good enough quality of life, they would tend to move away from these religious extremes. Now, if it did work like that, then yeah, absolutely. But I also think that...
Yours is an on-paper solution. You're not taking into account the personnel out there. It's different.
Well, I mean, yeah, but what I'm saying is the majority of the people, both in Israel and in Palestine, just want to go about their lives and live their lives, right? There's extremists on both sides, but there's small minority that are generating the news. It's like anything in the world today. Like, we're getting the news of whatever's going mad. It's only because it's a small minority that generates the news. Most people don't actually want to do that. Most Jewish people, I mean, I can't talk for Jewish people, but I've seen Palestinians want to go and live and work in Israel because they have a higher quality of life.
So why can you talk for Palestinians then?
Because I haven't seen what Jewish people think on it, but I know that a lot of Palestinians would like to live and work in there, but they can't at the moment because they're separated. That's why I'm asking Jonathan for his opinion. But Jonathan's not Israeli. You're not Israeli, are you?
Yeah. No. I'm a funny Jew. But I could be. Yeah. No, I think I'm.
It's the right of homecoming.
Your kids
I did the tour for a month.
The kibbutz.
Yeah, you can do like the month tour for free.
I've been in Israel longer than you have then.
What were you doing there?
My ex-wife's Jewish, and I went in the mid-90s to just to visit her family for a month, and then I went to a wedding. They live just outside Tel Aviv in a place called Herzliya.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. But I was traveling Sri Lanka, and the Israeli women are just so sexy. That's all I can say.
I mean, that
just
is a
tan.
That's undeniable. They're fit.
Bloody Palestinians are after.
This is how the war will end. Yeah, when they both acknowledge how fit each side's women are, and they say, you know what? Let's share. Sharing is caring.
One big swingers party. Okay, yeah, something we can all agree on.
There you go.
I'm down. But yeah.
And then world peace will be restored when they then export a whole bunch of mixed race Israeli Palestinians.
Well, technically, they are already. They're all pretty much the same anyway. That's what's funny.
Well, that is true.
Here's the thing I want to talk about, because
go for it. Well, I was going to say, do you think
what was that, Darius?
Say it, Jonathan.
Do you think all school shootings would be averted if everyone was taught how to be attractive to women from a young age and how to get laid? Because there wouldn't be that blistering resentment within people. Do you think that would be something?
I think all school shootings would be averted if the shooters didn't have access to the guns. I think that's the main thing. Yeah, it's like if you've got a kid at
it's
home,
also true.
Lock your guns up.
But then it's should happen, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but you've averted a school shooting.
There was evidence that the sexual marketplace is utterly distorted. When, do you remember there was I think it was called Seeking Connection, but some American dating website had a leak, or like it was something like, maybe it was one where it was, you were pretty open about the fact you're having an affair, right? And basically,
Ashley Madison or something.
It was something like that. Anyway, I read the last week that
Ashley Madison.
They looked. They looked at the data, and it was something like 0.7% of all the interactions were actual women. So the ratio was like more than 100 men for every woman on the platform. If that's the same
as your podcast audience, if I'm honest.
It's all men. We've got some women, I think.
No, you don't.
We've got some men who enter identify as women. Yeah. That counts.
No, but no, there is definitely a woman that listens.
Yeah,
because you were talking about her. Anyway, isn't it it interesting that the sexual marketplace was kind of has always been sorted with an economic marketplace, and never has it been more regulated than the last 50 years?
I'd say it's been less regulated in the sense that sex as a commodity is way more available and less guarded. It used to be that you'd have a chaperone and then you'd have to like be in a committed relationship to have it. But yeah, I don't know.
Is that not still true?
No,
I've just checked our statistics. For the record, we have a 17.6% female audience user base. Get in.
Nice.
So that means doesn't say how fit they are, but ladies, if you're listening, how you doing? But mainly for the men.
That means that means statistically one in five, and also actually one of our five listeners is a woman.
Yeah. Statistically, we've got more than one in five listeners. We've got quite a few. So I don't know why they would listen to us, but they are listening to us, and that's what counts. So anyway, what were we talking about? We've gone over the Middle East.
We've sold the Middle East
so many times.
Let's talk about Darius as president. I didn't know much about him, other than I did vaguely know that he was responsible for killing all those Marxists back in the late 80s. So did he have it coming?
Well, a lot of Iranians, I don't think any of the Iranian people will miss him. However, if he has been whacked and they're saying, oh, yeah, but he killed all these Marxists, if that's what the West are saying, then I mean, I think Iran's within its rights. Oh, yeah, now you care about the Marxists and all the torturing of political dissidents. What's going on in Riyadh? How's Saudi Arabia going for you? How's killing the... So let's not act like, you know, they've whacked him out of the benevolence of their heart because they love political dissidents. Because right now, if you're in Saudi Arabia, you could get, and you're a journalist, you're going to end up in a Turkish embassy and be dismembered on an iPhone. That's what happened. That's what happened. We all know it. There's a video of them happening and recordings of it happening. But everyone's like, oh, Khashoggi, just put that to the back. No one cares. So listen, if the Iranian president got whacked, the people of Iran, I don't think will miss him because, yeah, apparently killed loads of... He sentenced loads of people to death. But it's not going to really change anything in Iran because they're used to it. The machine functions. You know what I mean? He's the head, but the machine will continue.
So... No, but hang on. Isn't the problem with Iran, not the problem, but the history of Iran, until like the 70s, it was like this great destination in the Middle East. And then what I'm saying is there's the, like you said earlier than that, the 50s, you said the West meddled, but that always creates a power vacuum. And then is someone more extreme going to take his place? Is that all part of the plan? Is there now going to be someone even...
Yeah, more extreme, and then using Sharia law. All of it wasn't just Marxists. It was like basically anyone on the left or anyone that bothered him. And it was done so callously in like Sharia courts.
Wasn't anyone in protest for women's rights got like...
He did what I would do if I was in power. Just like, oh, my friends, all right, and then everyone else, deaf. Anyway. Let's silence that. Go on, what were we saying?
Why don't we go back to talking about... There was a thread about being a Jew comedian that you got interrupted. I wonder whether you've noticed audiences treating you differently in the last 12 months or so. Is it harder?
I would say no. I haven't experienced it being harder. If anything, there's a little bit more tension that you can prick and perforate, which kind of makes it a bit spicier and therefore funnier, because it's like that, because people are slightly more tense about it. I think there's an element of you can sort of akido that to your favor. That's been my experience, but yeah, I've not really had
presumably to the gigs you play in London, there's going to be far more audience members who are very, very vocally in support of Palestine and their victims, and probably
I think it depends sort of where you gig. I think North London, fairly equal, but I've not come across anyone. Oh, my friend, you know, Adam Kumas.
Yeah.
I think he was doing a gig at one of the big London clubs. I won't say which one, but he was talking about,
which one?
I think he mentioned some of it. You know, the one that isn't the comedy store. And then, yeah. And then basically there were some guests who were, I think, quite pro, I don't want to say pro ISIS, but not a million miles away. And they were like, yeah, we're not going to donate now on the door on the way out when he was collecting, which is a shame because he does excellent bucket speeches. He's very good at sort of
these,
like,
cheap fucks.
A big London club that takes donations.
Yeah.
Was that Angel Comedy?
No, Angel, they have their hilarious Hamas half hour every Friday. So yeah, they are fully committed, I imagine. Don't know, I haven't gigged there in a long time. I did the global comedy conspiracy at Angel, and then we sold it out, and it was a great gig. And I emailed them, was like, love to do another one. They were like, no.
Oh, really? Never. Yeah, but they kicked out, well, allegedly, or
Francis.
Asked Trigonometry to leave. I mean, all of this, man.
I think that's a matter of public record.
Yeah, but I think what the whole of this Palestine is, like, you can be pro Palestine without hating Jews. That's like, and it doesn't. And being anti-Semitic, or, you know, having that in the background, it doesn't help the Palestinian cause. It actually hurts the Palestinian cause, because people could just say, well, I can't listen to you because you're clearly anti-Semitic. So what can I say? So, I mean, it's like, I'm pro-Palestine.
Also, the reason that Palestinians want the slaughtering of babies to stop is not because they're anti-Semitic. It's because they want babies to stop being slaughtered.
Well, yeah. But basically, I know when I'm protesting a war in Gaza, I'm against it because of, you know, the killing of innocent people. That's it. That's all I want, is that. And I on both sides, right? And I think it will help both. Like, at the end of the day, if you're a parent, when you bury your child, whether you're Israeli or Palestinian, you're still burying your child. At that point, you don't give a shit really about the land you're standing on. Like, you just know you've lost a child. And I think the problem is, from both sides, not even the people there, but over here, people protesting on both sides don't realize, don't actually hold it in their mind. These are real people dying. These are real, they're actually, like, today you're going to Starbucks.
The unequal horrors of war would be, you know, beyond imaginable if you haven't experienced it. And it goes beyond politics. It's like the most fundamental.
That was actually a line from that film that I watched last night, where, like, four or five key sites in central London get blown to smithereens, and the evil guy,
that was the news,
he goes, you know, for you, you see war as just like sending your poor to go and get killed in some desert. Well, let me show you what war feels like as the Houses of Parliament are blown up and people in London mauled on the streets. Makes you think, doesn't it?
Can't we all just get along?
Well, no, because the point, but the point is like, it's easy for us to sit here and go, oh yeah, Israel should do it more, or yeah, Hamas should go and get them back. It's like, you know, the real people with real families are actually being affected, and people just don't realize it's, for them, it's just a number in their head. It means nothing. It's like watching.
Well, that's supposed to be one of the rules of war, though, isn't it? That you're not supposed to kill innocent civilians, and that's been, you know, that's just not, Israel just isn't burdened by that particular bit of international jurisprudence.
Well, it's easy to say that, but like, you've got to look at what the objectives are. It's like, the objective of Russia is quite clear. They want to reclaim Ukraine, so NATO and whatever can't go in there. Israel believe that Palestine want to destroy all Jewish people. It's not
about, in the Hamas charter.
Which is in the Hamas charter. So it's not about, oh, let's stop killing our kids. It's like, if we stop attacking them, they're just going to wipe us all out.
All right, let's just stop that for a second. Okay, so a couple of things. One, Hamas redid their charter in not long ago, but they, I mean, 2017, I believe. They redid their charter. They've taken out, we want to kill all Jewish people. So that's no longer in their...
That's your argument.
Oh, well, if it's not in now, okay.
Hold on, but I'm making a point. No, but they're saying, oh, it's in their charter, but it's not in their charter anymore. They changed the charter, it's not there. And they actually said in the charter, we want to make peace, we're willing to make peace with Israel. They've said that, right? Regardless, I mean, I'm not...
They're going about it the wrong way.
Yeah, well, whatever. I mean, the point is, I think this war has harmed Israel... Israel's reputation more
100%
than like, if you're Israeli, you should be furious that you were victims of a tragedy, yet somehow because of the actions of your government, because then they're too fucking stupid to manage a war correctly against an insurgency, that now the world has lost respect for you, right? But now the world,
yeah, but the world has gone completely mad over the last 15 years. Think about the things that were common sense 10, 15 years ago, which were now, you know, you're far right or whatever, yeah, for saying it.
But people have lost respect for Israel because Israel clearly have the capability to precision pinpoint, take down the Iranian consulate one building. And they just took it down. That building was done, right? Whether you agree that was a good action or bad action, irrelevant. They took down one building. But the world sees them razing Gaza to the ground. I'm not talking about civilian deaths. I'm not talking about that. What we can definitively say, because we don't know the numbers properly on either side, is you can look from outer space. Gaza is just a wasteland now, right? So people are looking at it and say, listen, if you can take down one building, why are you raising the whole thing? If the Israeli government had gone in there and said, we're taking down Hamas, we're particularly going in, we're sending in focus teams and we're precision targeting them, then the world would be like, yeah, go ahead. But it seems to me, and I think to the world, that Israel are like, listen, we're gonna take down anyone who's in that area, regardless of what happens. And the people have lost respect for the nations have lost respect for Israel. That's.
I don't disagree that in terms of like public perception, this has been absolutely terrible for Israel. I mean, people were celebrating, you know, on October the 7th, on October the 8th. In the streets in London before Israel had even retaliated. So I think it was already, you know, a complete shit show. But again, I'm absolutely no expert on this, but is the whole, or one of the whole problems is that Hamas completely integrate themselves within the civilian population to the effect that the only way they can be, stopped would be by, they have these human shields, which that's my understanding of it.
There was no actual military distinction.
And it's also with October 7th, whatever it was, that's like me kicking someone in the bollocks and then going, oh no, Queensbury rules, let's box and follow the rules. It's like, well, you're not following the rules. And I'm not pro Israel, I'm not on their side in this. It's just so simplistic. Right. And the thing is, like, look at Desert Storm, what happened after 9/11. Like, the way Britain and America, what they did. I don't get persecuted for it, but I don't see why Jewish people do. Jonathan's not an Israeli. But people are like, what's it like being a Jew? No one was like, what's it like being a Christian during Desert Storm? What's the fucking difference?
Well, no, listen, 100% I agree with you. But this is the problem, right? Israel's actions affect, like, our friends, our Jewish friends or Jews all over the world, even though they've got nothing to do with Israel. But the thing is... Israel deliberately entwines ethnicity with religion, with everything. So it's not like the same as saying, oh, like if I say I hate Biden, he's a dickhead. You know, I don't hate all fucking Americans. But if you say, oh, I hate Israel, I hate. What you mean is I hate the government's action of Israel. But people extrapolate that, oh, you must hate all Jewish people, which isn't the same.
If you specifically hated Obama in a way that you never mentioned with any other president, even if they did the same things as Obama, it could then raise the issue that you specifically hate him for the one difference that he has, being a black guy.
Racism, that,
I hate Biden, I said. I hate all American presidents.
No, but I'm saying I would say there probably was a lot of hatred. Not saying that he didn't do terrible things and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But there was probably a lot of hatred on Obama that he wouldn't have got. And I'm not like trying to play the woke card here. I think people do lean into their prejudice and find another way to kind of bring them out. Not saying everyone, like...
No doubt there's some people are using this to be anti-Semitic. I personally think that hurts.
I think it's actually very considerate. Yeah.
Well, I personally think that hurt. It hurts the Palestinian cause. I try to look at this from like, this isn't really... Like religion plays a part in it. But it's not the top level. The top level is that Israel are a Western-backed country with loads of fucking resources and power, and the Palestinians feel they're colonized and oppressed. That's the crux of the issue. Subsequently to that, that religion is like Palestinians hate Israelis.
See, you would put that over the religious impulse.
Of course. I mean, listen.
I think you might be right, but I think you might be extrapolating your rational Western.
Let me ask you a question.
You might be right.
Let me ask you one question. Do you think if instead of Jewish people in Israel, it was Christians, do you think the Palestinians would be bombing them and doing what they're doing, or you think they wouldn't?
Yes.
They would be bombing them.
I think there's quite a lot of hatred for Christians within the fundamentalist Muslim perspective as well, but I don't think it's the same.
Okay.
Is anyone atheist that isn't Muslim?
Yeah. If atheists were in Israel, right? So non-denominational.
They don't love them either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think the Palestinians would be fine with it, or they would still be kicking off?
I think there'd be less complete dehumanization and sort of barbaric, torturous methods used. I think there's a genuine inbuilt hatred of Jews into the fundamentalist side of that religion that they don't have for other people.
But do you think they would still kick off?
I do think that's true. I think Darius, what you're saying is.
I don't know, but I see your point there. Yeah.
I think you can both be right. I do think Darius underestimates how people like Darius living where we live. We think that people are a nut job if they make every single life decision based on their religion, right? Like, but you know, even me spending
anyone spending comedian of the year.
But even. Even me spending that time in Malaysia made me realize that there are some people for whom literally every decision they make is seen through a religious lens, down to what they wear, who they hang out with, where they invest their money, where they send their kids to school, what they eat, what time they leave the house, what hobbies they have. Everything is seen through a religious prism. And that's in Malaysia, which is like on the scale of taking religion seriously. Not even top 10. So I do definitely think that you're underestimating that people, you know, just because you have loads of money doesn't mean you don't. I'm not saying religion isn't a factor.
It's a huge factor over there, but I don't think it's the main thing. The main thing is Israel was created and the Palestinians were already there. They feel they've been hard done by. They feel they've got a claim to that land. They've got deeds to their houses. They want the right of return. That's how they feel. That subsequently, Israelis are Jewish. It's just something else to beat with them. It's like the KKK lynching a gay black guy and then them turning around and going, oh, they lynched me because I was gay. It's like, nah. They
just Justy Smollett.
They lynched you because you were black first. That you happened to gay was a bonus for them, right?
So when you have like the Iranian regime, say, was it 15 years ago, being like, yeah, we just want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Do you think that is this? It's not
banter.
A Jewish thing, or you think it's
so,
just
so,
a...
okay? Well, we can answer that. So that was actually it was mistranslated from the actual Farsi, right? What it actually said was like they wanted
to hug them off the face of the earth. That's
no,
what
they want to write. They basically want to.
We want to smother them in kisses.
What they claim to have meant is we want Israel to go the same way as apartheid South Africa. So Israel will still be there, but this like apart won't be, it won't be Israel as you know it. That's what they claim. I'm not saying you can take that or leave it. I'm not backing. That's just what they claim it is, right? And South Africa, they backed that. So we want to see the end of South Africa. And what they meant by that is not the end of South Africa as a country, but the end of the regime in South Africa. So allegedly, apparently, when they were talking about that, we want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth or face of the map or whatever it is. What the Iranians will claim is that they wanted it as a regime, as a government thing. But take that as you will. I mean, and just want to. Just pull up on one thing, because you said Hamas infiltrate themselves within the civilian population, and they
that's my understanding of it. Again, yeah, like, I only know what I see in the news, really.
Well, of course, we all know the same, yeah. And they use human shields, but the whole point of using a human shield is that you don't get fucking shot. that's the whole point. they're using human shields. It's not working because they're still dying anyway. So what's the fucking point? So that
I've got a question.
Tell them.
10 inches.
I want you all three to answer it. Venn diagram, people on the BLM marches, the people on the pro-Palestinian marches. What do you think the crossover is?
99%. No,
95%. It's fucking insane, isn't it? It's the same people, isn't it?
But you know what's funny, right, about all of this? Is that if you want to go out, like, take out, let's move away from just Israel-Palestine, right? Go on to the larger picture, which is kind of what you're alluding to, right? When they were marching for BLM, when they were marching for trans rights, when they were, all these woke people were doing all of these things, the powers that be, the authorities didn't mind. It was encouraged, right? But now these woke people have actually put their fucking heads to something that they don't want. Suddenly all the industries coming, nah, stop this. This is bad. This is wrong. Crushing down on their free speech. But it's funny because they trained them up in all these other ways. Go march for trans rights.
That's not what I've seen with the police, though. I've seen the police being very, very permitting of these kind
I have as well.
You know, often anti-social marches. I'm not saying everyone who's been on this.
I'd say that the pro-Palestinian are the ones that are sort of teacher's pet at the moment.
But the two-tier policing, et cetera, et cetera. Right, but I know what you're saying, Darren. Just for example, like, let's say you get Hillary Clinton when she's like, oh, yeah, this is all the feminist stuff. Yeah, all the, you know, all the kind of woke things. But then she has, say, spoken about how these people don't understand history and stuff. So there is a bit, the Venn diagram of people who've been all for all the woke causes. And yeah, like, it's a summer of love, burn down America, defund the police. Some of them are like, no, this is, don't, you know, call for a genocide.
Palestine
of
is
Jews.
Such an anti-woke thing, of entity, whatever you want to call it. I mean, this Queers for Palestine, I mean, that should be Quislings for Palestine. It's insane. I mean, it's so it's like you could, you know, it's just, it does seem to me anti-Semitic. I don't know. I'm biased because my children are technically Jew. I
think we should talk about another topic. Not,
why? No, it's
not because this isn't important.
No, but
it's interesting.
Boring. I'm bored.
We're so close to solving it.
Oh, fair enough. If you're all bored, fine.
I don't think I'm bored. It's just, I think if we do a whole podcast on this, that's what the podcast is about. But there are other things we can talk about.
Such
and
as?
There will be people listening to this that go, well, they're just boring on and haven't got a clue. And those people probably are right.
Not in my eyes.
But they will send it now. Now you're talking. Yeah, go on, Ollie. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, go on, then.
I haven't got anything. Well, one thing that we talked about a few weeks ago, Darius, was the Richard Gadd comedy drama. And I know I shouldn't have done, but I watched the entire interview with Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
I've forgotten her name.
Fiona Harvey.
Fiona Harvey. And
she's my celebrity crush.
Well, so I.
Can I say before you start, Ollie, you're only a couple of months away from having a little downturned mouth. Like, she's got that proper fat, like, you know, the little mouth goes down. You're getting there, bro.
Why are you being rude? You're being mean. You're bullying. A couple of observations. One, I don't know if it was a hoax, but apparently she got booked for a club night. So, you know, just like you could meet one of the Chuckle Brothers at a club night or, you know,
an appearance.
People of that ilk. Yeah, an appearance. So imagine that. Ludicrous, absolutely terrible. Also, I've had the way that she says BBC Breaking News in my head absolutely nonstop, and I don't know what I can do to get it out. BBC Breaking News. And
when he goes, oh, I mean, she looks like you. She goes, do you think so? It's hardly flattery. Like, she thinks she's a sort, and she's most offended that the actress that plays her, she thinks the actress is overweight, not knowing that she's overweight. That's blowing my mind about it.
And the actress is actually fit and she's not, but I don't really think that's the point.
Fuck off.
I know this is
that's a misuse of the word fit, mate.
I know
might find her attractive if she's not fit.
I know this observation's been made. Well, that's the dichotomy that people who fancy me have. I know this observation's been made a million times, but it is absolutely remarkable that she was given a platform when the accusations made against her were as strong as they were. And the whole, if it were a man, gender, like that argument is just so obvious, it's not even worth repeating. if it was a man stalking a female,
if it was a man, the comedian would be dead, and he would have blown his own brains out by now on the top of Big Ben. It'd all be over if it was the other
can
way
I
around.
Can I just say, as a slight side quest from this whole saga, I'm now obsessed with that Iman Ayton.
Who's that?
Have you seen her? Well, Piers Morgan did a follow-up to the interview where he had a legal person who's talking about taking the case on further, and she, I think she come to prominence as a BLM activist. You've got to watch it. You will never want to punch someone more.
Is that the one who was like turned up wearing like mad thing and who stopped?
No, Alec Baldwin. I know you mean. She's a New York performance artist. This Iman Ayton, she was going like, you got to watch it. Anyone who hasn't watched it, you got to go on YouTube and watch the Piers Morgan follow-up where it's about the case being taken. And I think that's the title, something in and around that. And she resorts to toddler tactics. She talks over people. She just keeps repeating herself. She's making faces.
She'd make a great guest on this podcast.
She's like Darius. Honestly, you've got to watch it. It's absolutely insane.
To be honest, every time I see someone like that for the pro-Palestine thing, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, it makes me want to go.
Whenever I see like the drag queens, if you're a drag queen, then you know it, shout Free Palestine. I'm like, that's Darius's team.
I was like, no.
They're going to make me turn.
Listen, so what? She's making money. Yeah, good. She should be on TV. It's fun. It's fun to see her.
I'm on her side on all this, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think I am on her side in one very specific instance, which is the whole plot line of her being convicted and that not being true is so obviously defamatory. And this is the important part. She probably can't win a defamation claim because you've got to have some
standing. I think she's entitled to money.
In order to lose standing, which is basically what defamation's all about, you've got to have some standing in the first place. And nothing she's ever said is
real. Why are you bullying a vulnerable woman? She didn't want to be thrust into this, Ollie. She might have all sorts of problems. They said it was true. She was easy to find. They haven't protected her. She's been sucked into a whirlwind and she can't handle it. She is
just a humble email enthusiast. That's what she likes to do.
I'm not saying she's innocent, but she's innocent of... she's been thrust onto a platform. She didn't ask for it. Her life's been turned upside down and they've done it to her. And I'm on her side. I think they're cunts.
Yeah, you can't just... And it wasn't like she was hidden. They found her within a day.
Didn't hide it at all.
Yeah, they.
But it wasn't But hang on. They only found her because she was harassing people online. Like the paper trail was literally her tweeting abuse at other people.
Oh well, Ollie's going to side with the big corporate Netflix and all the lawyers, not this fucking poor woman.
I actually think this is going to be a massive turning.
Get your fucking snout in the trough, little lawyer boy. There's money for you. I'm sure you can make something out of it. Fucking disgusting.
That sounds anti-Semitic.
I'd have said rat. I wouldn't have stopped my children.
The irony is, Justin looks the most Jewish of the lot. There you go.
I might be. You might be. Who knows? We all might have a little bit in us, mate. Who knows? I ain't done a fucking.
A bit more on you if you like.
In me. Yeah, fuck off. I thought he'd gone then. I thought I'd shamed him off the platform.
I heard that little rape joke you made.
What kind of joke writing technique can't a Jewish comedian use?
What?
Kogi, what joke writing technique can't a Jewish comedian use?
Pull back and reveal.
There we go.
Very nice.
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I'm with Justin though. Like, you can't just.
Oh, like a foreskin. Like... Yep.
Yes.
What's a foreskin?
but I definitely think that like this is a turning point for compliance and kind of compliance in. Television is obviously like a bit of an unsung, like compliance is a bit like.
Something more important than this? Much more.
No.
If a few years ago you will recall, I invested vast quantities of money into the GME stock, which was
it went up the other day.
Which is called a meme stock, and then I refused to cash out, and now I'm rich again because it went stratospheric. So in your face, fucking Leo, in your tulips, in your fucking face, and now rich.
I've got some as well. Did you sell when it went to 64?
Obviously not. I held on to it. Now
I've got diamond hands. Down.
Diamond. Yeah, I've never let go. Never.
Darius's investing technique is a lot like his argumentation technique, which is pure stubbornness. The only guiding mantra is he is stubborn.
That's not true. I'm willing to change my opinion.
It pays off.
I'm willing to change my opinion and my views on everything if people can give me a good, coherent argument and tell me why I'm wrong. I like changing my views. I enjoy being told I'm wrong and why I'm wrong. I like it because I actually can do it to other people.
That's a question that I ask on dates. I think it's a really interesting question to ask someone. Tell me something that you've changed your mind on recently. I think it's a fascinating question.
What about then going back to the baby reindeer thing? As comedians, what is your responsibility about taking when you take real life events? Do you have a responsibility, sort of like shield real life people? You can't just go on stage and say something.
I guess the scale at which Baby Reindeer was is obviously like Netflix, so it's in every single household in the country. But when it's on stage,
I think you've hit the nail on the head. And no, I because this is the point I wanted to make before you start talking about GameStop. That the issue with like Netflix compliance is they wouldn't have done thorough compliance like say the BBC would have done. Because they would have said, well, this has already been a story in the public domain. He's done two Edinburgh Fringe runs. He's done a little theatre tour. You know, the story's out there. And I think you're exactly right. It's a question of scale. Like, I talked about some pretty gnarly family stuff in my last show. And I filmed it, but I've only put it on Next Up, right? No one's watching it.
Mm. Well, he was doing Edinburgh.
Well, I mean, I did my
show. So he's done an Edinburgh show, and everyone's like, oh, that was really raw. And he's gone, oh, it was true as well. And they're like, fucking hell, this show's true. Now Netflix, I think he's sort of got trapped in his own lie. Like, he's gone to Edinburgh saying this is a true story to add weight, to add some sort of like, oh, how brave.
I don't think he is lying.
No, but he went to Edinburgh and said this in his stage show. If he's depicted all these events going, this is a true story, and some of it was fabricated, now Netflix have picked it up. And part of the reason they might have picked up because it was true, and the reason a lot of people were buzzing about it because they were going, oh, I can't believe it's true, and the actor was the bloke it happened to. So the fact he's presented as it true is what elevated to a higher plane. And then I think it's like, not trapped in a lie, but you go to Edinburgh, I go on stage and go, this absolutely happened the other day. Fucking course it didn't. But then if like Netflix is going to pick it up or someone's going to pick it up, then you're going up sort of like levels of legality and scale.
You're telling me that you're going to look a Netflix exec in the eye when they offer you £1 million for your special and say that you weren't actually called Boss Man at the kebab shop?
Well, I can't disprove that, Ollie. This is a real person that's been put in the crossfires.
So was it all made up then?
He made up stuff about her. Like, she sort of pinned him against the wall and wanked him off near the canal, which is hot. But I don't know if she did that.
I mean, gross. Yeah.
Well,
canal wank.
They absolutely... But there's no reason that they couldn't have... Like, they made her Scottish and picked an actress that looked just like her. All that
not
could
in
have
her, not, just to clarify, not in her opinion, she doesn't look like
That's hardly flattery.
But also, English women aren't strong enough to pin you against the wall. You need a strong Scottish lass for that.
I think he's going to pull me in the show. Like, I think this is like he behaved very badly and sort of like led on and toyed with a vulnerable woman. And I think this was him getting his excuse out there. Like, this happened to me. So I didn't like it. I didn't like Baby Rain. I'll tell you the thing I hated about it. And this is the.
No, go on.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. Because what it was I didn't like, do you know when he goes, oh my God, these bloody guys I work with are so heteronormative and they were just like these dickheads doing accumulators and snorting coke. It was like, oh, heterosexual is now a pejorative term for a twat. Oh, they're so bloody heteronormative. Well, not those heteronormative guys with their cocaine and tits. It's like, oh, fuck off, mate.
I think
that's a
good point.
Yeah, I think they fucked up. What else has been happening? I think
The Vatican have announced their new policy on discussing aliens and ghosts.
Have they actually?
Yeah, they had a meeting maybe on Monday. Oh, no, it is Monday. Maybe 2 or 3 days ago on Friday or something.
Saying
but they set a bunch of new precedents because before they had independent, not bishops, but whatever they're like, the mini popes are, being like, yeah, this was an act of God, or yeah, this is supernatural. Popettes. But now they can, now
the
it has to
move sideways, right?
They can only what, sorry?
Move sideways.
Diagonally. Or diagonally. If you're going to do a chess reference, get it right.
Sorry.
But yeah, it's, so they basically got new things saying that only the Pope can decide if a ghost is real. Oh, it's gone.
Wait, I was trying to bring, can you see the image? Can or is it not gone?
No,
I can see the void.
Did anyone listen to that guy? Did anyone listen to that, the second to last Joe Rogan as we record this? It was fucking the best one ever. He was like a simulation theory guy. I'm not right wing either.
I'm joking. I love Rogan. I'm going on Rogan in a few months.
Are you really?
No, but I know people who have been, so I get secondhand glory.
Yeah, France. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
he had this guy Andrew. On, and apparently, you know, the word genie comes from a thing called a jinn.
Yeah, the demons in Arabic.
Yeah. So you're saying this is sort of like, if it's a simulation, these are like the, I don't know, it's fucking one of the best podcasts I've ever listened
really?
To. It was a bit the out wacky. There, but because he was like a science bloke, people would take him serious. But like
who is the guy? Do you know what he's called?
I know, I will. Just let me look it up. I don't like to go on my phone, but I will look it up because it was fucking great and I recommend it.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to watch that Iman Aiton on Piers Morgan and this podcast. That's they're the rules.
Quality content recommendations.
It was number 2151, Rizwan Virk. Rizwan Virk. Honestly, best podcast I've ever listened to.
You sound like a nutty professor. Kind of cool...
It was good. It was really interesting to me. It was because it was sort of like
that is
because what it is, you know, when people talk about conspiracies and how things are all weird, and then you're like, oh yeah, you're just a weirdo. But then you get a physicist going, well, when we look at the superstate and this, and so it could be possible. He's like, he's adding sort of like credence to it, a little bit of gravitas to it because he knows what he's talking about.
Well,
but I just don't like.
Isn't quantum physics like this? The further down you get, like the more mental it gets to the point where,
don't understand it and they don't like it.
It's like a graph of like the smaller and smaller you get, it seems like it's more and more ordered until there's like a tipping point where it gets chaotic again.
Well, that's what, you know, that's what all these thought experiments are. Like, if you can't say where an atom is, how can you say where anything is that's made out of atoms? And he likens it to coding and rendering. So
it becomes information at a point because there's when you keep going down. Well, I was reading a book. I'm only a layman. Sadly, but I was reading a book on quantum loop gravity, and the idea is college boy, and the idea is that stuff becomes patterns. There's no matter; it's just patterns of energy, which are just vibrations within one cohesive
frequencies,
field. Yeah,
basically.
Frequencies, but of nothing almost.
Of nothing. So, yeah.
Which
zeros and ones.
Insane.
It's all like, digital, isn't it? It's all zeros and ones. Atoms are zeros.
I think it's all consciousness, which is not my wacky theory. But when you look at the Vedic texts and Buddhism, all saying everything is just a big field of vibrations.
Jonathan's the only one on this podcast who smoked DMT, so he's seen. He doesn't like. I recall this. It's the only thing he doesn't like talking about because he said it wasn't a good experience and it gives him anxiety, which is unusual for the DMT experience. But just without going into it, did that like pattern thing make any sense to you after that?
But I was thinking about it. But I've done like salvia and all that stuff as well. When you go deep into it, it just seems like the construction of this reality is not arbitrary, but it can be switched out just by changing the set of chemicals within your brain, which you already have, you know, native to your brain anyway. But when you actually think about what those chemicals are, they're not made up of any matter. They're just made up, like everything, just made up of vibrating energy. So it's literally just by changing the vibration settings of your brain, you can shift into parallel realities. And it's just like anyone can experience that. What the fuck's going on? What is going on? Like, that is the maddest thing.
The way I see it is our consciousness is actually a receiver.
The brain's a receiver.
You know, like the old, Yeah, your brain. So in an old fashioned radio, like when it was analog, there's all these radio waves in the room, yeah, and it's like whatever frequency you dial picks up all these different things, and that's what he was saying. This guy was saying like these djinns and that are just from a different frequency that we're not on. Do you know what I mean? So there's all this shit, everything. The thing is, atoms are can be everywhere all at once with quantum entanglement, and they can be like hundreds of light years away and completely linked. So if everything's linked, it's basically everything's possible, but what frequency are you tuned into? And we're all tuned into a frequency.
That's a crazy thing, is that like anything that can be conceived of, not by us, but by pure infinite consciousness, not only is possible, it's supposedly happening as well. Which is, yeah, so any kind of configuration of anything is happening, which is completely insane. It's like the most wacky... Always,
like, you know, like Michelangelo would look at a block of marble and go, oh, I just chipped away what wasn't a horse, and you end up with a sculpture of a horse. I think the universe is like that. It's just one big solid thing, and we imagine the gaps and that everything... It's just our consciousness, that frequency.
Yeah. But that's
like
what...
a block of marble is everything, isn't it? It could be a statue of everything. And it's what is
that's
it?
That's what Buddhism was talking about. That's what Hinduism was talking about. That's what the Kabbalah was talking about. When you come with that, I guess, understanding or at least that sort of angle, you can then see it, whether or not it's confirmation bias, but you can see it in all these ancient religious and spiritual texts, which is just mental. Which basically means that we're all the same thing.
Okay.
All of us.
If what you're saying is true, and it
which 100% it is, no, I have no idea. Yeah.
But if it is, how does that interface with the world that we've actually got to live in, which is roads and jobs?
That's a very good question. That's kind of, you can say that about the simulation arguments. That what, even if I'm in a simulation, if I can't affect it, it's actually no difference from just living in the universe. It's just a different set
of
rules.
Exactly. And if there's like an infinite number of worlds where I'm doing an infinite number of things, if I'm not seeing them, experiencing them, or seeing their consequences.
If you're causally disconnected, what's the significance? I totally
agree.
It
doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter. This is what we've got. But the point is, we're looking at the origin of everything, and this could like. What's the point in looking at?
I have something different to say on that. What I'd say is, within the rules that we have, this, let's say, it is all a big consciousness, blah blah blah. If you develop your consciousness enough, you can then interact with it in different ways, and that's when you have all the things like.
And that's schizophrenia. Projecting.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
I think mental people are just on the... they might be right.
But the thing is, joke. You joke, but someone who was having... a comic, in fact, who was having some, like, pretty bad mental health whoopsies...
You
can't say whoopsies.
What, are you a fucking middle-aged woman? Jesus Christ. Oh, I had a whoopsie.
he had a whoopsie.
You shot 40 people, James. Yeah. Ah, a little whoopsie.
October the 7th. Whoops.
A little whoopsie.
But like, I guess that's my point, that like reaching this elevated level of consciousness, while it's really exciting to just like, to know that the spectrum of colours that we think exists is just not true, or sounds or feelings or whatever, right? If then you slap bang got to interface with squinting and looking at parking until 6:30 p.m. only possible unless it's a red line, and like once you just a slap bang into reality,
you just looked at that sign, didn't you, unimaginative clown? And you sat opposite a parking sign, and that was the only reference you could come up with.
The weird thing is, when you mentioned the sign, I immediately started looking for the hidden meaning in it. I was like, oh god, what could the extra layers be?
I'm in my podcast.
Speaking of colours, Ollie, hey guys, did you know that purple doesn't exist?
I've seen
Let me just make my point. Doesn't it make you depressed? Like, doesn't it turn you mental? Because you've got like eudaimonia, like
you're breaking up because you're saying too much truth, Ollie.
The Matrix is censoring it.
Yeah, the Matrix.
Right, wait, say it again.
I'll ask the question in a more simplistic way. If you stepped out of Plato's cave and had a good look, you'd probably eventually want to turn down and crack on with making dinner.
Potentially. Some people don't. Some people become, I mean, monks and live in, you know, spiritual pursuit for
that
their entire lives.
Shit.
What if you're experiencing pure bliss all day, every day, that's only deepening with your connection to the universe as it grows? That sounds fucking amazing. Imagine being on the best pills.
I've got an Instagram account.
Yeah, fair enough.
Honestly,
imagine pure ecstasy all day, every day.
Purple doesn't exist.
Pure ecstasy all day every day. To be honest, I don't think pure ecstasy all day every day. I don't think actually that does appeal.
Like, that's what you try and get with food, Ollie.
Well, that's my point. I appreciate pigging out, mouth going feel. To Hawksmoor, because I'm not going to Hawksmoor every day. If I went to Hawksmoor every single day,
do you get steak?
Of course I do. Stops being special then.
Yeah, but purple if you got steak, exist. Which each day got more and more. But also you we're equating here physical.
Stop that thought. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's say you got a steak that every day got progressively more delicious, and there was an infinite depth to how delicious a steak could get. I don't think you'd acclimatize in the same way.
Right. Yes. Great. Okay.
But if it was the same
way, where the steak comes from, Ollie.
No, I want to do the steak thing. How do I do that?
No, but if you want to know where it came from, the provenance of the steak, how it's slaughtered, how it's made, that's what quantum physics and stuff is. It's not really altering the fact that you want to eat the steak, but it's just understanding what the fuck it actually is. It
also you can still it's a take bit pleasure of a in loophole it. for those that feel guilty about eating meat for ethical reasons, because that cow is both on my plate and delicious, and also running about a field having a great day.
Cows are in on it. The cow I've done ayahuasca, and the cows are in on it. They want us to eat them.
Have you actually
done it? I was a vegan until I did ayahuasca.
Justin's lying. He's not done it.
What did you?
I'm not.
Oh,
lying.
Really?
The infamous goddess come and told me.
I can see you curling the lip.
That's just my curly lips.
He's smirking.
Curly hair, curly lips. But purple's not real.
Listen, Jonathan, what is it? So you've done salvia, DMT. So DMT, but
acid, shrooms.
What's the difference between?
Have you smelled these?
What's the difference between shrooms, acid, and salvia? What are the differences?
I actually think, now don't do it, but I think if you did enough of all of them, you just get to a similar state. So I think if you do 6-7 grams, which I haven't done, but of dried shrooms, and then you take loads of LSD or you take DMT, I think it just breaks you through to another plane of consciousness. But there's so many, you're going to end up in different places depending on a bunch of things, like where you were at mentally before you jetted off, or exactly how much you take, or all these different things. But I would say, shrooms are, if anyone wants to try psychedelics for the first time, just do a little bit of shrooms and then make sure you're with friends and you're outside in a nice place. Don't go like fully in.
Or you can't do it then.
But I did, but the point I was trying to, is like when I did, fun of you. When I did shrooms and then I did LSD, I would say the distinction is like when you do shrooms, it feels natural. You feel like you're in like a Hansel and Gretel kind of fairy tale world.
Sure.
And when you do LSD, it feels mechanical, kind of like you're in a Daft Punk, like cyber
machine
punk.
Elves.
Yeah. Like, shrooms are kind of wavy, whereas LSD is kind of spiky in a way. I don't know.
Yeah, that's squares and that. It's like what's that film called? Tron. LSD's like Tron.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of surrealness. And shrooms are like net nature, like you're in a Hansel and Gretel fairy tale.
I think that is a pattern that people have mentioned before. I also think that no two trips are the same, a lot of the time.
But what I mean is, what was salvia like?
Oh, okay. There are some really interesting drawings online. Salvia is, I was at uni.
In the Thyme family.
Or sage. Sage.
Sage, sorry, yeah.
Salvia divinorum. But basically, what happened to me was, and it's like spiral almost. It was like that, but like crazy, crazy colors, but everything open like that. And I was just basically sent backwards into the world. You ever eaten neon nerds?
Yeah.
Those little sweets. Everything looked like it was kind of comprised of that. I wasn't in the room anymore. I was in another place.
And it kind of feels like this came on instantly.
I would say in about 5 to 10 seconds. Yeah. Like it gradually. It's like getting thrown on a ride. And it wasn't super pleasant, but it wasn't unpleasant. I did it a couple of times at uni. But yeah, it was legal.
They do in Sopranos and he smokes it?
What happens
meow,
to him?
Meow, maybe?
I'm not.
No, he does. He has. Is it mezcal? Is that, or is that a tequila?
Not... Oh, that's mezcal. That's Mexican. Mescaline. That Mexican LSD, isn't it?
From peyote, which is a friend of mine's done that. No, a friend of mine has. I'm completely scared of all drugs now. I don't, like, I want to, but I don't. That's not my thing anymore. They were never my thing. I was just so interested.
Did you get too close? Did you almost get a glimpse of God's face and get scared?
Basically, yeah. So yeah, a friend of mine was going to do the 5-MeO, the 5-MeO DMT trials, which they call normal DMT is a spirit molecule. They call 5-MeO the God molecule because you meet God, basically. Mm. What do you think about stuff like that? Because in some ways, that's almost proof of something like that, but in another sense, oh, you're just fucked on drugs. I don't know. I think about this all day, every day.
No. Well, the interesting thing is, say that all these drugs actually operate not by adding to you, but by inhibiting chemicals in your brain, don't they?
Or changing the levels of stuff you already have. So it's not like stuff you don't have.
So it's not like, oh, you've put this substance in your brain, you see all of this crazy stuff. It's like removing... We've evolved, I think, to block out all these kind of deep thoughts so we can collect firewood and go and hunt a wild boar and do our day-to-day stuff. Otherwise, we'd just sit around thinking about the origins of the universe and chatting to God.
Think about this. If this is that being on these drugs basically kind of closes the number of like avenues available to your brain, so you have to kind of find these new paths.
It closes down inhibitors.
Like a chimps and dogs thinking like this?
Animals get high. Have you ever seen lemurs getting high on millipedes?
No. And
reindeers
fly
agaric mushrooms.
Isn't it?
Do you think you could make a beef Wellington from shrooms?
Fucking hell, Ollie. Brain out of the kitchen, bro.
You can. I knew a comedian, he made spaghetti bolognese with shrooms, and he said he was like, they're just mushrooms. He's tripping balls. I think what's interesting is apparently fluoride blocks the pineal gland and it's in all our water. Suddenly they care about our teeth then.
I don't use fluoride toothpaste. I haven't for years.
Oh, really? And you've got...
I think fluoride is definitely like bromide for the brain. What bromide you lead on.
I think there's something to it, though. As you get older, these things get blocked and stopped. And I reckon that's why kids are like usually always, you know, they're really happy.
Seeing ghosts.
And they've got huge... They reckon
fluoride calcifies your pineal gland, which is what produces natural DMT.
It keeps you chained to this mortal coil.
Yeah, it keeps you less spiritual and a better cog in the machine, a better worker bee.
You don't want
the worker bees to think about it. You just want them to just make the honey.
I've had a thought as well. When you think of things that are like vices, when you think of like gambling or even like scrolling or like chasing women or like whatever it is, these are all things.
Listening to 3SP.
That keep you connected to your physical...
short-term and your ego short-term and goals, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the opposite of developing your consciousness in some ways. It's just like me, now. I'm all guilty of it.
Instead of elevating, it is de-escalating your consciousness. And that's the thing about gambling. When you've got all your money and you throw those dice, and those dice are tumbling, before they settle, you're not thinking about anything.
And I think that's why dopamine.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of vices is to stop thinking, like drugs. People don't tend to take hallucinogenic drugs recreationally. They do, but not the main ones people take it's drink. Yeah. Dumb you down. Turn those voices off. Because it's scary. It's scary to think outside the matrix or whatever you want to call it. It's terrifying because and that's why people don't like to think. That's why people follow things like this lockdown in order to have a vaccine. They don't want to think that all this construct, they want to think they're in the safest place and they know X leads to Y leads to Z. It doesn't. And people are scared of going off the map, whatever it is. Terrifying.
Yeah, it's anxiety inducing, but in the cave you fear to enter lies the treasure you seek, or so they say.
Exactly. So. And can we just finish? Purple isn't real. That color does not exist. That is true.
I have actually Googled that, and it exists in culture and art, but not in the same way that violet does in optics.
Purple photon. Your brain creates that purple color because there's an absence of green. Red, green, blue make up those colors of the spectrum. And when there's the absence, it's like an error 404 not found page that your brain throws up.
In that case, you can say orange doesn't exist.
No, there's an orange photon, Ollie. There's an orange photon.
You don't hear much of indigo these days, do you?
It changes subject because you're wrong.
No, I mean, indigo is supposed to be purple. I always thought purple was overrepresented in the rainbow. The last two ones, indigo and violet, you just don't hear about indigo
these
days.
There's no purple in the rainbow.
There's no purple in the rainbow.
Indigo and violet are both purple.
Let me check my lanyard.
I bet you know that. I bet you know that rhyme to learn all the colours of the rainbow.
Richard of York gave battle in vain.
What a nerd.
It's not a rhyme. Not a rhyme.
What is it then?
You'd be the worst freestyle rapper ever if you think that's a fucking rhyme.
What is it? Richard of York gave battle in
it's
vain.
It's a sentence.
Richard of York gave battle in vain. Let me tell you, that's his name. I'm here to dish out some pain.
Yeah, I was right.
I'm
I was
not
right.
The same. Yeah, I got a bum
Chris
hole.
Chris fucking Turner over
so
it.
So what?
Yeah, I got a bum hole.
That's hot.
Anyway, I think it's been an interesting.
What did you think of that audio that I sent you, Darius, of the song which goes "I'm gonna lick your ass tonight"? Do you reckon that's copyright infringement of your song?
I think it's similar, but I might be unable to prove it, so I'm gonna allow that song to exist.
Actually, on the back of Kogi's point about kind of like vices, what modern culture is such a race to the bottom. Do you remember about 5 years ago there was that girl that had that song "Tonight My Cunt's Getting Eaten"? Have you not heard that? Oh my god! I mean, that's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
I mean, there used to be that song, hey, "My neck, my back, lick my pussy,
lick
and
my pussy and my crap."
Eat my cunt is a somewhat
mate,
direct.
Mate, she's called something like it's Iggy 6.
Why does it keep
seven,
on giving me the thumbs up?
It's because you're doing this with your mic, isn't it? You've got your thumb like that. Isn't it remarkable though that in?
Oh yeah.
How long is it? How
do
long
you
has
get
it
the
been
thumb on yours
like...
as well? Thumb it. Do a thumb.
I'm gonna thumb you.
Do you get a thumb on yours? Jonathan, when you do it.
Don't think so. But when maybe I can change the settings. I mean, for another episode.
I've got a slight theory about this, though, that we think that like the Victorians and the Edwardians were prudes, right? Because all the media that they left us is showing a bit of ankle, bit much, right?
Mm.
But I'm sure they were just as filthy, but it just didn't get recorded because there wasn't the incentives to record this stuff down and publicize it in the mainstream.
There's a reason that certain religions like cover women up, and there's all these rules were put in place. It must have been
specific.
So beautiful.
But is that not a reflection on the people who can't control themselves if they see a woman? Is that not like...
Will we get taken off for this?
Probably.
Shall I stop? But this is it.
No, it's gonna...
Let me find the chorus.
We'll put a link
in
the bio.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
I know this song.
That's it.
I can't believe Calvin Harris's song, "I Get All the Girls." I was looking at the most toxic intro songs I can play for my Edinburgh Fringe show. And Calvin Harris's song, which goes, "I like them black girls. I like them white girls. I like them mixed race girls." It's remarkable.
That's you at a buffet.
It'll be bad as if you bleeped out one of the races, so you didn't want that.
I draw the line.
Yeah, it's been no censored hockey. Now. They take Israeli out.
Oh, they're the hottest.
Oh yeah, they might be, but you can't say that. You're right wing. You're a Zionist for like. And anyway, if you're gonna, what is the difference then? So. If you were going to make a death threat against someone, so topic. Saying if you said Jewish or Zionist, what difference does it really make? Is that because that was being used as well? I didn't say Jewish, I said Zionist.
What would you find more scary and offensive?
What if someone?
We're what back I think? To this again.
What would I think? I think I'd probably just choke him the fuck out when I saw him anyway. I've done two jiu-jitsu classes.
If you're bowling around Golders Green, Kogi, right, and I knocked your yarmulke off and kicked you and said, you fucking Zionist, and you'd be like, oh, that wasn't a hate crime. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, how is that an excuse? How did he think that was
stipulation obviously,
that would matter?
Yeah. The only thing you could say is you could attack a Zionist who wasn't Jewish, which you obviously can do, which people obviously don't do. But you can do that.
It's still a death threat. And that's like...
That's like, are we talking about Dane again? We spoke about this last week. The podcast got... By the way, last week's podcast, if you watch this on YouTube, was taken down after 1 minute 28 seconds into the podcast due to vaccine misinformation on my part.
About what? Well,
what was the misinformation?
What was the misinformation? Did you say it was safe and effective?
I denied the efficacy of the vaccine despite AstraZeneca's admission.
Well, that's but not anyway, yeah, it
that, down. AstraZeneca are far right now.
Well, I just want to say...
That's disinformation.
Stop saying AstraZeneca. It's going to get taken down.
Oh, shit.
No, you're allowed to say it, but you're not allowed to say...
They're sponsoring the pod, aren't they?
Yeah. Anyway, that's why last week's wasn't on. But the point is, we spoke about this about Dane, and we said, like, Zionist is like, it's an ideology, but when you're using that as instead of saying a Jewish person, then yeah, it breaches it. It goes into anti-Semitism. However,
never mind anti-Semitism.
But if you're talking about like a Christian from America, they're Zionist as well. So then it's not anti-Semitic.
No, but it's like if I said, oh, someone's far right wing and everyone agrees that they're fair game. You can say what you want. If I said, I'm going to fucking come around your house and murder you, you fucking Nazi, just because... It doesn't matter. It's still a death threat, is my point. Whether it,
yeah,
it doesn't
I mean,
even
it
need
is.
To be.
Yeah.
It's not like
what
yeah,
are we
it's
talking
like,
about
oh,
now?
I wasn't being anti. It's like, oh, I didn't have to be. I wasn't anti-Semitic. Oh, that's fine then. That's not
what,
fine.
What are you
not
talking about? Are you
people.
Talking about? Are you talking about Dane? Or just in
obviously.
General?
Obviously.
Well, we're mentioning
it. In general, the point is, if you threaten someone's life, it doesn't matter. What that's born, if that's born from anti-Semitism, if that's born of racism.
Yeah, but we've got so
involved in this intersectionality and we've got so involved in this sort of like identity politics.
It does,
death threat doesn't matter.
No, but it does make it worse though, because if you just say, I'm going to kill you because I'm going to kill you, that's nothing. I'm going to kill you, you stupid woman, then it's because, you know, it brings into that. And then if you further go on to say because you're a Zionist or whatever, then it does make a difference. It's not the same as just...
Not
I'm
in the eyes of the
you,
law. But it does. That's what I'm saying. That's the law they're... I think...
You're saying that hate crimes shouldn't have an extra level to them than the
equivalent
crime. No,
I'm saying it doesn't
matter.
He's almost looking for a loophole.
I see where you're coming
going. Yeah, it's like... Murdering someone's a hate crime, right? I think that like, it doesn't matter why you did it. And going, yeah,
not
I did
always.
Murder them, but if
it's
you went, I did murder them.
Sometimes it could be a crime of love if it's
I
like
didn't
a strangulation
murder them because
gone wrong.
They were gay. It's like, oh, okay, then that will give you less time. I don't understand it. I mean, hate crime as in like saying to someone, abusing someone or attacking someone because they're gay is terrible. But I think if you're talking about
what
murder,
about
which is the ultimate... That's fine. But that's only trying to help you, Roland. That's doing you a favour, bruv. But like, if you're going to murder someone, it's like, you're like, I threatened to kill him, I did, but I wasn't anti-Semitic. It's like, oh, okay, let's, like, I don't understand. I don't know. It seems like you're sort of fighting, you're splitting hairs on a dead horse at this point, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess the only thing you could say is that when you're hate-criming someone, you're targeting a group. So you're more dangerous than if you just hated one individual. But I'm not saying it should
be
charged. No, but
murder, more. Hate crime, yeah. Fair enough, like whether it be abuse or a violent attack. Yeah. But when you talk about killing someone, a death threat, I don't...
Let's say you murder someone because... Sorry.
Well, if it's regarding a death threat, if you're saying, oh, it doesn't matter, then why mention it? Because clearly it mattered to that person. That was an influence on their thought process. Otherwise, they wouldn't have mentioned it. So if I give a death threat... Well... So if we're using the example of Dane, if Dane was to say, I'm going to kill you, bitch, like, fine, she's a killer, she's a woman. But if he goes out of his way to say, I'm going to kill you, you Zionist bitch, using Zionist as another word for Jewish, then that was a factor on...
Yeah, because
he thought
that would excuse it because there's such an there's such a pro-Palestinian zeitgeist at the moment. So to say, well, to think like that is dehumanizing someone. Saying if you're a Zionist, if you're Jewish, says you're one step away from being a Zionist. If you're a Zionist, you're not in the zeitgeist. You're on the wrong side of this particular thing where the mob is. It's like, it's sort of like as if it was excusing it was okay.
I don't know if he thought that. Well, I don't know.
I don't know if he thought it either. I don't know anything.
I think my point is if you're going to bring that term or like someone's race or ethnicity into something, then when you don't need to, then it's a factor behind your thinking.
I think, Darius, listen, he said in his follow-up, I was very careful. I said Zionist instead of Jewish. And I think
a bit on that currently, like what words you can swap out, which mean the exact same thing.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't mean the same thing, I think he thought everyone was going to be, yeah, everyone's so anti-Israel at the moment, especially in the arts, on the sort of like, whatever you want to call it, the left or whatever you want to call it, the sort of like, he was like,
Darius Davies Drag Academy.
It's like if you said, oh, let's go around punching Nazis. Everyone's like, yeah, let's do that. If you let's go around punching women, you'd be like, what? Is that? But you just shouldn't punch anyone. Do you know what I mean? Just don't go around punching people.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good message.
I think he thought it was a fair game because you called her a Zionist. I think he thought it would lessen it. You're saying you're right. If you said Jewish, that would sort of like increase the sort of like severity of it. But I think he thought saying Zionist would lessen it.
Irrespective of what he thought, the fact that he said Zionist belies the fact that he was thinking about her and didn't like her for that reason.
I think he thought there's such an anti-Israeli feel at the moment that was going to sort of like, that was okay. That was making a fair game. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I don't know what you fuck. Well, I never spoke to the geezer.
We've done an hour and 25 minutes. I think we should.
Why?
We should call it. We can do a Patreon episode if you guys got nothing else to do, because we need to do that as
Rick keeps calling me. I'm supposed to have gone to Hoots by now, so I probably might have to skip the Patreon. But that's a shame because I've enjoyed this. This has been great fun.
Thank you for having me.
This has been an interesting.
No, thank you.
Thanks for doing it, Jonathan. It's been interesting. Anything to promote before we go?
I've only got 5 Twitter followers. For God's sake, follow me at Kogi11 on Instagram as well. I need to get over 100.
Justin?
When's this going out?
Today. I'm going to literally go and upload it now.
Yeah, Chesham Fringe and Cambridge Fringe. I'm doing my hour show, my new hour show, twice in one day. I'm doing it at Cambridge Fringe. It's incorrigible. I'm doing it in, do you know what that means, Ollie? What?
It means you can't courage.
You don't. I don't believe. Do you know I don't believe this geezer went to Oxford and all that? I actually think it's a fraud. If you're Brooks. Getting into Oxford and doing law, I don't know what's going on in the world, mate. Because you're one of the thickest people I've ever speaking with.
Speaking with.
Listen, just get to the point because I've got to go and upload this. It's going to take for hours.
Yeah. Chesham Fringe.
Are you in Edinburgh?
Sunday night.
Yes.
No.
Oh, come to Hoots.
Oh.
I'm going to go to the gym.
Are we still sponsored by High Point CBD?
High Point CBD. We're not only sponsored by them, Jonathan.
Just a plug. I interrupted him by accident.
They appear to have gone out of business, owing our listeners, and in fact ourselves.
That's a toxic free SB free. We're like Ratners. We can just sort of like throw a bucket of Ratners all over you.
A dormant Shopify site.
Yeah, and a dormant Shopify site. So we're no longer, unfortunately, sponsored by highpoint.care. Do not use the code for SP. You will not get your goods and or your money back. Listen, Chesham Fringe, I'm also going to be there on Sunday with Justin. I'm going to be doing my new show, A to Z, A Geek's Guide to Seduction. This show is currently, as of Monday, unwritten, undone. Don't know what it's going to be. I just chose
unwritten.
I just chose that title because I thought people might find it interesting. Come in and then I can just do whatever I want. But it's going to be good. I'm also doing...
Let's do a writing session.
Yeah, I'm going to do Hate and Live with Justin on Sunday. And tickets are now available for both the 10th Annual Haters Ball in Edinburgh, 9 p.m. in Hoots, and A to Z, A Geek's Guide to Seduction. We've sold tickets for Hate and Live. Cannot believe it. I've sold 0 tickets for A to Z, A Geek's Guide to Seduction. So maybe my plan to have a decent name isn't working, but there you go.
Get on the Reddit dating boards, post it there.
Oh, Reddit dating boards, nice. I'm gonna do that.
Incel, go on incel.com.
And Ollie, anything to plug? No, okay.
Brighton Fringe, his arteries.
Brighton Fringe this weekend.
Brighton Fringe this weekend, and that's the only really one that matters. Then London next month, that's it.
All right,
I do have something to do. Me and Adam Kumas have a night. It's called Deviant Comedy. And it is next month in June. So in North London.
New.
Yeah, definitely come along to that. It's going to be good comedy. I'll get you guys all on at some point.
I did a gig for Kogi the other week.
Oh, yeah. Clapham.
Yeah. Well, we'll discuss that on the Patreon. If you want to know what happened,
I got to go. Rick's calling me.
All right, Ollie's got to go. So, bye.
Bye.
Wait there. Wait. Bye. Hold on. Wait. Bye. I did it, baby.
Nice.